Welcome to the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Ron Jones. Our prayer is that God will use his word to change your life and fill your heart with hope. And now, here's Ron.
Well, Death Valley is a land of extremes located in eastern California. Maybe if you've visited the Golden State, you've visited Death Valley. It's one of our national parks. It's also home to Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. Do you remember that? I mean, those Looney Tune cartoons, beep, beep, you know, all of that. I love the Looney Tunes. Just kind of reminded me of Death Valley a little bit. But extreme is the correct word to use when describing Death Valley, this undesirable place in the northern Mojave Desert. Because while it is set between high snow-capped mountains, Death Valley is America's lowest, hottest, and driest national park. To that point, you may be interested to know that on July 10th, 1913, the United States Weather Bureau recorded the highest temperature ever on planet Earth. Can you take a wild guess? 134 degrees Fahrenheit, but it was a dry heat, all right? It was a dry heat. They recorded it appropriately in a place called Furnace Creek in Death Valley. Well, the psalmist David had a place something like Death Valley in mind when he wrote, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And let's look at this phrase as it is in the psalm, as it flows right after he says, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." What comes next? "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," suggesting that our good shepherd will sometimes lead us through a valley of deep darkness. And when he does, it's still the right path for us. It's part of the paths of righteousness. To say it another way, the right path can sometimes look and feel like the wrong path. Let me say that again because it's so important. The right path, even the path of righteousness, can sometimes look and feel like it's the wrong path. Now, this week I was at my favorite coffee shop, and I was doing some of my sermon preparation there. I like to kind of mix it up a little bit, I got to be in different places sometimes to generate a little bit of creativity. And I'm there in my coffee shop, and I have my table, a small round table, and I kind of, grab the one next to me, spread some of my books out. And then next to me on that side, a guy named Charlie, who I later met, was there sipping his coffee and reading his book and periodically bursting out in laughter. Must have been a great book. But he started packing up his things, and before he left, he says, "Hey, what are you doing there? What are you working on?" And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor, and I happen to be, teaching through Psalm 23. And that's when Charlie jumped in, and he says, years ago, and he was an older man, he says, "Years ago, I was in a seminary," and he began to describe the years that he was there. It sounded more like a monastic order. And he said, "I did something wrong." My curiosity wanted to jump in right there and ask him, "What did you do wrong?" But he went on and he says, "They told me to go to my room for 3 days or 4 days or 5 days, for a series of days, and just stay there on my knees, meditating on a different phrase from Psalm 23 each day." And he said it was one of the most transformational experiences of my life. He says, "That phrase, 'I shall not want'?" He says, "Wow, that one's incredible." And my little encounter with Charlie that day reminded me of how powerful Psalm 23 has been in so many people's lives. And perhaps no phrase from the beloved psalm is more poetic, it's more memorable, it's more meaningful than the one we're at today. Verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me," David says. I want us to enter that valley, on our knees, as it were. Because I think as we do so on our knees in an attitude of prayer and humility before our Lord, the first thing we might notice is how the pronouns shift slightly here at the midpoint of the psalm, making the discourse even more intimate. For example, he becomes you. Up to this point, David has been talking about his good shepherd. Now he speaks to his good shepherd. There's a personal relationship there. This is Psalm 23 in me. This is not something that you can understand intellectually or as a scholar. This is an experiential psalm. And even as David takes us through the valley of the shadow of death, well, he speaks more directly, more personally to the shepherd of his soul. The words you and your appear four times in verses 4 and 5. You won't notice that if you're rushing through the psalm. You won't notice it if your posture is, you know, on your feet. You got to get down on your knees maybe to see some of those things. Verse 4 actually pictures the long migration of the flock led by their shepherd to the high country where they settle in the summer range. According to Philip Keller, the sheep move along slowly, feeding as they go, gradually working up the way up the mountain behind the receding snow. By late summer, they are well up on the remote alpine meadows above the timberline. And they go there slowly. Hurried is the wrong word to describe this migration of the flock. Rather, both the shepherd and the sheep take their time. The shepherd knows that the ewes have not been this way before, and he must pace the entire flock according to their experience. Going slowly ensures safety for all of them. And besides this, according to Keller, all of this is done against a dramatic backdrop of wild mountains, rushing rivers, alpine meadows, and high rangelands. We might say that the journey to the high rangelands is fraught with many toils and dangers and snares. Thieves and predators lurk in the mountain crevices. There are steep angles, rock slides, poisonous plants, and, well, quick rising storms that threaten the flock. And of course, between the high mountain peaks lay the shadowy valley. For what the sheep will experience in their summer encampment, every step along the treacherous journey is worth it. They just don't know it yet, some of them. Now, of course, Psalm 23 pictures the biblical life of faith, and including the walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes we refer to our journey with Jesus as the Christian walk, don't we? And that's appropriately so, because David even writes, even though I walk, he doesn't write even though I sit, or even though I run, or even though I camp out. We're not meant to stay in the valley, but we must walk through it to get to the high places. And sometimes we do that by just doing our best, putting one foot in front of the other. Some of you are in a dark place and you don't know how to go forward. Don't sit. Don't camp out in your misery. Get up and walk. Do your best to put one foot in front of the other. It's the Christian walk. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death, led by our good shepherd. I remember when I came to faith in Jesus Christ during my junior high years, some of my early spiritual mentors would want to encourage me, and they'd often come up and say, "How's your walk?" They weren't, you know, examining my gait, you know, whether I was, you know, walking well for a young teenager. They knew that the Bible often describes the walk of faith or the faith journey as a walk. For instance, in the book of Genesis, it says Enoch walked with God. That's about all we know of him. He walked with God. Noah walked with God, Genesis 6 and verse 9 says. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul encourages us to walk by the Spirit. Later, he says, keep in step with the Spirit. And the Bible never pictures our walk of faith as a Sunday afternoon stroll in the park. More often than not, in order to get to the high places with God, we must walk through dark valleys. It's just part of the part of the curriculum, part of being the sheep of his pasture. Of course, nobody wants to experience dark valleys or difficult times. But there are two words at the beginning of this part of the psalm, depending upon your translation, that I think are instructive here. The words, even though. Even though leaves room for God to work in those mysterious ways, those unexpected ways, even leaving room for him to work in ways we'd rather him not work, like taking us through the valley of the shadow of death. The words even though remind me of those three Hebrew youths in the book of Daniel who bravely faced their own valley of the shadow of death. Their version was a fiery furnace if they did not bow to Nebuchadnezzar's gods. You remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Let me take you there in Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter if we are thrown into the blazing furnace. The God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. Here it is. But even if he does not, even though, I don't want to go there, even though he leads me through the valley of the shadow of death, they said, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. You have anything in your life that looks like, even though, but even if he does not, we want the Lord to lead us this way. We'd like to be able to leapfrog from this mountaintop to that mountaintop, but to get from here to there to the summer range, you got to go through the valley. You got to go through the valley. The king in Daniel's book heard these words and he grew angry, the Bible says, and he tossed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, somewhere near Furnace Creek in Death Valley, I'm sure. And to the king's surprise, the Hebrew youths did not bow and they did not burn. There was a fourth man in the fire. You remember the story? Probably a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the good shepherd. And he got them through the fire without even a singe of, burned smell on their hair. Kind of reminds me of Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. The Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Just circle the word through there in Isaiah 43, and then go back to Psalm 23. Circle the word through. It's an important word to just kind of sit there on your knees, maybe next to Charlie, and say, just meditate on the word through a little bit. We must walk through the dark valley. We cannot walk around it. We cannot leap from one mountain peak to another. But as we are walking through, God is with us. He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as the fourth man in the fire, and he's with us through the valley of the shadow of death. And he will get us through whatever dark valley we are going through. This is that point at which I hesitate to contextualize this for you, because I know by this point in the message, you're already processing through your own mind a dark valley you went through, you are presently in, or that you fear that you are anticipating and you don't want your good shepherd to lead you there. But if he chooses to, I'm talking about prolonged illness, a season of unemployment, natural disasters, financial stresses. Our good shepherd will get us through loneliness, addictions, mental health challenges. You can add to the list yourself. But we're all processing in our minds a dark valley we experienced at one time. Or maybe you've never really been through one. I remember years ago when I started in ministry, I used to hear about all these difficult times that pastors were going through with their churches. And the first 7 years at our first church was wonderful and blissful. I'm like, well, that ain't never going to happen to me. Well, I'll just wait around for a little bit, right? And we hit some dark times, some difficult times. Sometimes when it seemed like predators came out of the crevices in the mountains. And it was a tough time in ministry. But he gets you through it. He gets you through it. Not because you pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps, tried harder, and just gritted it out. No, because your good shepherd is with you. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. For the believer in Jesus Christ, Romans 8 and verse 28 promises that God works all things together for our good. Even when we're in the valley of the shadow of death. Now, the ultimate dark valley is, of course, death. Death itself. The last enemy, that enemy that Jesus defeated on the cross, by the way. But even in the final moments of our life on this earth, for the believer in Jesus Christ, God is with us, is he not? Psalm chapter 116 and verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Oh, he leans in, child of God, sheep of his pasture. He's not far from you. In fact, he's closer to us at that time, perhaps, than any others. And according to a story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 16, he sends an angelic escort to bring you home to heaven. He hasn't forgotten you, even in the moment of death itself. But David chooses his language very carefully in Psalm 23 and verse 4 by referring to the shadow of death. He doesn't say, even though I walk through the valley of death. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. For the believer in Jesus Christ, death is merely a shadow. Well, in what way? Again, Jesus defeated the ultimate enemy on the cross, death itself, not to mention sin and the devil. He absorbed the full force of death for us on the cross, and then he rose from the dead. Thus, only the shadow of death remains for the believer. And this is why Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, "Oh, death, where is your sting? You little shadowy thing, you." Now, that's a paraphrase by me. But where is the sting of death? For the believer, death is merely a shadow. It's the gateway to glory. And a shadow can't hurt you. Maybe an illustration will help. I have a fear of heights. And sometimes when I'm in a big city like New York City and I'm walking by these very tall buildings, there's a little bit of me that wonders, is this thing going to fall on me? Now, I know it won't intellectually, but still, if I get way up on the top, it just paralyzes me, a fear of heights. And some of that translates even as I'm walking along the street, is this thing going to fall on me? And if it did, it would kill me, right? But what if I walk into the shadow of that building? Should I be fearful as well? Oh, the temperature cools a little bit, and the shadow, you know, grows a little darker, right? But that shadow can't hurt me. And in fact, if there is a shadow, light must be nearby. You can't have a shadow without light. And so it is. The valley of the shadow of death. A shadow can't hurt you, child of God, sheep of his pasture. And when you're in the valley of the shadow of death, he who said, "I am the good shepherd," also declared, "I'm the light of the world." The light is nearby. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. The great Baptist preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "Death in its substance has been removed, and only the shadow of it remains. Nobody is afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot block a man's pathway for even a moment. The shadow of a dog can't bite. The shadow of a sword can't kill. And I would add, the shadow of a building shouldn't scare you. Because shadows cannot hurt us. And thus, the valley of the shadow of death is not like Death Valley in California. People die in Death Valley. But it's just the valley of the shadow of death for the believer in Jesus Christ. Now, trusting God through the valley of the shadow of death, let's be honest, it's difficult for some people. And I want to suggest a reason as to why. The reason is you only have an intellectual understanding of Psalm 23. and you need to have, and will in time, hopefully, an experiential understanding of it. Psalm 23 is deeply personal. It's experiential. David was writing from his personal experience. He experienced this as a shepherd firsthand. Some speculate that David had the Wadi Kelt in mind when he penned these words. The Wadi Kelt is a gorge near Bethlehem that leads to the Jordan Valley and eventually to Jericho, which at certain times of the year is a desert oasis and perhaps a wonderful grazing ground for the sheep. David would have traveled this region many times with his sheep. And so he's writing from experience, not only as a shepherd, but also as the sheep of God's pasture. Our good shepherd knows that the journey through the valley of the shadow of death leads to a good place. It leads to those high places with God. And most Christians I know want to go to those high places, but they're not willing to traverse through the valley of the shadow of death to get there. They say, no, God, I don't want to go there. But you can't leapfrog from one mountain peak to another. You have to travel through the valley. And only after our good shepherd leads us through the valley do we experience the benefit of it. We move from an intellectual understanding of this psalm, maybe even able to recite it by memory. But nothing in our life